He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. Welcome to the new working week. It is June the 21st. You're listening to Bill Gunderson, professional money manager for the last 21 years, portfolio manager with Southport Capital. We have got ourselves a reflation trade rally today. Just when you thought the reflation trade was dead, commodities, financials, cyclicals, industrials, etc., they are storming back today with the Dow up 413 points right now. And it is swamping the technology trade today, which has had its way with the reflation trade over the last few weeks, but not today. Reflation back in vogue. Dow up 410, 33,700, S&P up 35 to 4,200. The NASDAQ is up, but up just 20 basis points. It's up 32 points to 14,062. Small caps participating mightily in today's reflation trade. They're up 0.9%. Russell 2000 at 22.57. Crude oil participating up 38 cents today to 72.02. Gold up $6 to 17.75. Silver down 4 cents to 25.93. The big loser today, the cryptos. The crypto's getting clobbered again. Ethereum, Litecoin, Dogecoin, you name it. Bitcoin down $933, 32,979. It's lost half its value, basically, here in the last 6 to 8 weeks. And the 10-year up a little today, 1.48%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, portfolio manager and market strategist for Southport Capital. Headed down to Sarasota this week, be there tomorrow. I'm in Florida now, making my way south, having a good time along the way. And boy, howdy, do we have a rally in the reflation cyclical value stocks today. Well, let's go back to Friday. Let's see where we left off on Friday. We had the Dow off some 500 points on Friday. You had a two-day sell-off after the Fed announcement on Wednesday. We're going to go through that today and talk about the various ramifications and why the market reacted like it did. You know, on Thursday, you had a huge jump in the dollar. You had a big sell-off in commodities. And yet the momentum stocks rallied. What gives there? We'll talk about that during the show today. We also had the Dow come down to its support level. I sent out a live message to my live trading subscribers saying, you know what, the Dow's right on the support level. I think it's going to hold there and probably bounce off of that, and it is. The S&P 500 also landed on its support level on Friday. Now, it's not true that it's always going to hold support, but in an uptrending market like we've had for the last 13 years, 12 years, it generally happens that way. And of course, we had a massive sell-off last week. The fear there, I believe, is stagflation. In other words, the market took the Fed's comments about hiking interest rates as, well, you know, the punch bowl is finally being bowled from the market. No more accommodative stature by the Fed, and that's probably going to hit growth. Growth, earnings growth, growth in the economy which is the stag part, stagnant economy part of the equation. And on the other hand, they obviously upped their expectations on inflation and obviously became more worried about inflation. Hence the thought for a couple of days, maybe we're going to see stagflation like we saw in the 70s. So number one, you had a risk-off event on Thursday and Friday. In most sectors of the market, you saw risk-off in the precious metals. You saw risk-off in the industrial metals. You saw risk-off in the economically sensitive, otherwise known as cyclicals, types of stocks because of the worry about the stagnant growth going forward. And you had a rally in the dollar big time, and you had a rally in the bond market, sending interest rates down. And for that reason, you saw the rally in the tech stocks. All kinds of cross currents happening. And, you know, as it usually happens on Thursday and Friday, you saw an overreaction to everything that was going on there. Last week on Thursday and Friday. And then to add fuel on the fire, gasoline on the fire on Friday, you had Fed Governor Ballard saying that, hey, I think we'll have to do an interest rate hike next year when, you know, Jerome Powell said it probably won't be till 2023 until we see a couple of rate hikes. So you saw all kinds of cross currents crossing through the market last week, and now you can see that things were overdone on Thursday and Friday, and you're having a rebound today on the reflation trade, the tech stocks, the growth trade has cooled off for now. But no question about it, the last 4 to 6 weeks, the growth stocks held sway over the value stocks. We are having a huge day here with the Gunderson portfolios at Southport Capital. You know, sometimes your thesis and your theme on the market is not going to work every single day. It's not going to work every single week, and it may even not work for a few months. But I'm sticking to my guns. I have my Best Stocks Now app pointing me in the direction of the best stocks now in the market. Well, that's on a relative basis, okay? In a downtrending market, if your stocks don't go down as much as the rest of the pack, on a relative basis, you've done better than the market. So I'm sticking to my guns. I'm sticking to my theme. I did add some growth stocks to my portfolio. You know, that's a form of hedging, too, don't forget. You can hedge with things that are working that shouldn't be working, like the tech stocks. But then again, we'll see how long interest rates can remain where they're at. That's a big boost to the tech stocks. And the tech stocks should do better than most in a stagflation type of environment because they still offer the most growth. And the tech stocks should do okay in an inflationary environment. How else are you going to stay ahead of inflation? You're not going to do it with cash. It doesn't seem like you're going to do it with the cryptocurrencies. And you're not going to do it with stocks that may be more sensitive to a slowdown in the economy, if that's what we get. Now, let's not forget, the Fed is cooling things off because the economy is too hot. 7.8 is what the growth GDP numbers estimates are looking like right now. And they're trying to gradually slow down the economy. And, of course, the market always overshoots. This is the first major challenge to the accommodative stature by the Fed. I'd have to look back on many, many years here where the Fed has remained at zero. And, of course, the market's going to have a risk-off event. Well, so far, it's a two-day risk-off event. And we're back in action today with the market shifting to the cyclicals, the values, the financial, the oil and gas, the commodities. The Dow last week had its worst weekly drop since January. The NASDAQ, however, was slightly up for the week, I want to say about 1%. And the S&P also had a down week last week. And there's also been this, divergence. We had the growth stocks leading the market all last year, the year before that, the year before that. And finally, in February of this month, you saw a topsy-turvy move with interest rates moving higher that sent the NASDAQ and the hyper-growth stocks tumbling. You saw a 33% correction, which a lot of you can't stomach that kind of a correction. But that was in the ARK funds. And then you had value lead the way. And then over the last 5 weeks, you've had growth lead the way. Where do we go from here? It's enough to drive an investor crazy. Well, Crazy Bill will be back, and we'll discuss this whole conundrum that we are facing right now in the market. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, we'll be in Sarasota Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And if you would like to meet with us while we're here, you can call 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. We'll be at the Lakewood Ranch office. And, of course, Wednesday night, we will be I will be doing a workshop on this crazy market that we have right now. But I'm sticking with my thesis and theme that I established back in February of this year. We'll be talking about that. If you'd like to attend the workshop, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And if you missed last week's newsletter, I did my best to pick through all of the different things that happened last week. The big jump in the dollar, the big drop in interest rates, the sell-off in the reflation trade, the rally in the technology stocks. Now, remember, 2 days do not a new trend make, and there was a lot of overshooting with a lot of things. But we have had a seismic change from the Fed for the first time. They have become more hawkish, but I don't think Powell was as hawkish as the market thought he was, judging by its reaction on Thursday and Friday. And I also updated my macro outlook in the newsletter on Friday. If you missed the newsletter, I tried to make the best sense out of all of this because I know it didn't make some sense in certain areas. But after you read my analysis, I think it will make sense. And, you know, I bought some new stocks last week in the portfolios. I added some growth back as a hedge against my value stocks. I didn't sell all my growth stocks in February. I kept many of them, and I still own them. And I added a few last week to see which ones they are. You're entitled to 2 free weeks of the newsletter by going to my website at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Well, there's a definite theme running through the market here today as the Dow's up 473 points right now. I'm seeing the strength in the commodity stocks, big strength there in the commodity stocks, and the agriculture stocks. This is the stuff that sold off last week. I'm seeing very good strength in the builders, in the building sector, another area that sold off strongly last week. The consumer consumer cyclicals also are discretionary, consumer discretionary, such as Academy Sports, American Eagle, Deckers, Dick's Sporting Goods, Camping World, etc. They are rebounding after last week's sell-off. They mostly reacted to the inflation worries, which I think also were overdone by the market last week. And there's some also some action in the industrials, the auto sector, which got whacked last week, coming back today, rebounding. The weakness is in the digital currencies, Coinbase, Ethereum, Bitcoin, the GBTC ETF. The Chinese stocks remain very soft, Alibaba, and some of the chip stocks, which had a pretty buoyant day on Thursday, are definitely settling back here today. So I think you're working off some of last week's two-day freakout. We'll call it a two-day freakout in the market. All right. Well, Credit Suisse says the reflation trade is intact. Okay, I'm in their camp. They say I would tend to tilt towards the message communicated at the FOMC rather than a sole Fed governor, said John Woods, Asia-Pacific Chief Investment Officer at Credit Suisse. Well, that's true. You know, on Wednesday, you had Jerome Powell really sounding quite calm about things. The market reacted pretty adversely, however, after his comments. And on Thursday, and then on Friday, you had Fed Governor Ballard throwing fuel on the fire, saying, no, we need to raise rates sooner rather than later. And that really threw fuel on the fire. And Credit Suisse is saying, well, I'd listen to Powell and not be too worried about what Ballard had to say. They also went on to say, I think the reflation story from the fundamental perspective remains firmly in play. Now, what do we mean by the reflation story? Well, that's the economy coming back. All right, the cyclicals, the industrials, the oil and gas, the chemicals, the basic materials, the commodities. Things are pretty hot. They're coming back strong. Consumer discretionary, etc. That kind of stuff was red hot. It's mostly the value side of the market, the cyclical side of the market versus the growth side of the market. And that's where the big sell-off was on Thursday and Friday. But obviously coming back strongly today. So Credit Suisse, they're on board still with the reflation trade. So am I, but I do have some growth tech stocks too. Now, not everyone's on board with that. Moody was rather moody. Their analytics guy, Mark Zandi, declared expecting a more hawkish Fed to spark a 10 to 20% pullback. All right, and then, of course, big short investor Michael Burry has recently warned of the mother of all crashes, with hashtag Main Street losses approaching the size of countries. Well, we see those kinds of predictions all the time. I've seen them for the last 12 years, including Robert Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, is on that train as well. He says it's the biggest bubble in world history getting bigger. Biggest crash in world history coming. Well, I hope he's short the market. You know, Kiyosaki and Burry and Zandi, go out and buy Dog. That's the inverse of the Dow. Go out and buy SH. It's the inverse of SPY. Go out and buy PSQ. It's the inverse of the NASDAQ. Because if we're going to hit the mother of all bear markets and the mother of all crashes, you'll clean up in those areas of the market. Well, today is Amazon Prime Day, okay? So log on to Amazon, see what's on sale, and then check out the comparable prices at Walmart, because they're having a competing day today. So anyways, we'll keep our eye on Amazon this week. Now, people are starting to lose a little bit of interest in the stock market. The Google Trend Chart of U.S. search volumes for invest and buy stocks from 2019 to present shows a distinct decline in online queries for those terms. That's interesting. I mean, that we use now search queries to determine sentiment on the market. Well, if you Google what's happening in Sarasota on Wednesday, well, there's only one thing that comes up, Bill Gunderson's workshop. Get there 6:30 p.m. We'll be at the Grove in Lakewood Ranch to reserve a seat, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. We'll talk a little bit more, Hawkish versus Dove. What sectors are impacted? We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of Best Stocks Now show. Dow up 487 with the reflation trade back in a big way. Stagflation, inflation, reflation, you name it. Some people are looking at stagflation. Some people are looking at inflation. Some people are looking at reflation. Well, I kind of see all three of them, to be honest with you. I don't think you can have a portfolio that's all growth. I don't think you can have a portfolio that's all reflation. I don't think you can have a portfolio that's all value. I think you need a mix. And that's what my Best Stocks Now app is pointing out. And look at the rally we've seen in the bond market. We bought a new bond last week. We had one that was called. You know, I was looking at that bond portfolio. Do you know that we've got, I'm just going to go through some numbers here. It's pretty impressive. The gains, the capital gains, capital appreciation. What? You can get capital appreciation in individual bonds? Well, there are several ways that you can get capital appreciation in individual bonds. Number one, we buy bonds from our Best Stocks Now list. Number two, obviously, they're subject to interest rates. If interest rates move lower like they have been recently, you're going to get capital gains. And thirdly, if you get a credit upgrade along the way, and that's what we're hoping for in a lot of these cases with these Best bonds now. But just listen, okay, so here's the bonds. I'm not going to name the bonds, but here's the capital appreciation. 30%. We currently own 10. 22%, 28%, 19.7%, 21%, 22%, 23%, 15%, 14%, 15.5%. Every one of them has delivered capital appreciation along with the coupon. And the bond portfolio, very stable. That's our a non-correlated asset that I came up with after looking at all the supposed non-correlated asset classes. I finally came to the conclusion that buying individual bonds and holding them to maturity is the best one of all. And it's the cheapest one of all. Most of these other non-correlated asset classes come with huge commissions. You know, coming from that alternative side of the market, which has become a very, very large industry. And a very, very, you know, a profitable one, of course, for Wall Street. A lot of them carry with them big commissions. But we did buy a new bond last week. Okay, so to see how the bond portfolio has done, to see what's in it, to see the capital gains, to see how it's done since inception, I've added that to the newsletter. It was never in there before. We just talked about it, and we own it and we have it, but I never published it. Well, now it's published, and you can go to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Also see my latest macro outlook on the market. That is critical. That's what's guided me for the last 13 years, 12 years in the market. There's not a better indicator out there. It's not Richard Kiyosaki, poor dad, rich dad. And it's not Michael Burry, the big short guy. No. How can you be a big short guy? That's like a jumbo shrimp. But anyways, there is the indicator, the mother of all indicators for me, earnings. Earnings expectations. The market is looking ahead. It's a forward-looking vehicle. And what's it looking at? Well, it's looking at the future of the economy. It's looking at the future of interest rates. But the bottom line, that all feeds into earnings. In the real estate market, it's location, location, location. In the stock market, it's earnings, earnings, earnings. And as long as those earnings of the S&P 500 continue to grow. Now, we've got an asterisk by our earnings estimates for 2022 and 2023. We have without a tax hike and with a tax hike. And I would just say that the more likely scenario as I sit here today is with a tax hike. We just don't know how big and how deep. But I do believe we'll have one before the midterm elections in 2022. That's my opinion. Okay, let's see. We've got, Bitcoin. You got MicroStrategy buying another big chunk of Bitcoin. I mean, if you're buying MicroStrategy stock, you may as well just be buying the Bitcoin Trust because that's basically their product. You're buying their balance sheet full of Bitcoins. Goldman Sachs' Jeff Curry doubles down on his bullish commodity view after Friday's dip. And there was quite a dip in the commodities. The copper stocks, the industrial metals, the gold, the precious metals, they're rebounding today. Oil, energy, cement, rebar, you name it, building materials, timber, lumber, it all sold off. But Jeff Curry says that yesterday's sell-off across the commodity sector driven by rate hike fears is a buying opportunity for investors. I'm on board with Jeff Curry. The Fed's talk about guiding future rate increases does not move the physical commodities market, Curry says. It's about scarcity and strong physical demand. Amen. Look at what China's doing. Look at how panicked China is over rising commodity prices. They started to release their reserves. They're trying to control futures trading. At the end of the day, you can't really control commodity prices because it's all about supply and demand. Curry's near-term highest conviction long in this commodity sector is crude. And I got to say that the energy stocks continue to do and look very well. In fact, the chart of the day, the one that jumped off the page at me so far, is Laredo Petroleum, LPI. LPI, big break out there, Laredo Petroleum. The big cyclical stock for me so far, breakout of the day, is Mayville Engineering, kind of like Jacobs Engineering, only smaller. That stock is M-E-K. So he's very bullish on the commodities market. Now, not everybody is, but the head strategist at Goldman Sachs on commodities, very, very bullish. The financials are rebounding, too, today. I think the fear of rising interest rates was overblown. You know, you're at 1.48, and that's helping the banks. And it's helping the financials today. Well, the CDC overstepped their bounds in trying to keep cruise ships from sailing out of Florida. Judge rules for Florida, where I am today and all week, in a lawsuit against CDC's COVID cruise line order. A federal judge grants Florida a preliminary injunction against the CDC that would have restricted stock or ships from resuming their sailing. Instead, it looks like they can start gearing up, doing some test cruises, etc. You know, I watched the San Diego Padres on television in San Diego, Petco, yesterday. There was no social distancing. There was no mask. There was 40,000 fans there watching the Padres beat Cincinnati for the fourth time in a row. WKRP in Cincinnati, it seemed like, over the weekend here. They stunk up the joint. But I'm a Padre fan, so I was happy. 40,000 people in the stands. I watched the game, most of it. no mask, no social distancing. Why can't we resume cruises? I don't know. Well, in other shipping, how about containers? It's killing Hasbro and Mattel. Shipping issues are impacting toy deliveries out of China again, according to the New York Post. Pictures from a facility in Shenzhen, China, that moves along shipments for Hasbro and Mattel shows a huge backlog of boxes. Well, the shipping stocks continue to look pretty good to me. GSL, Global Ship Leasing, also the big cargo container, as container rates hitting new all-time highs. I like TGH there, which is Textainer. Shipping issues, not only in the cruise industry, shipping tourists across the Caribbean, but also shipping toys from China across the Atlantic. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back with our featured stock of the day.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna do.
And welcome back to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show on a big reflation trading day. Dow up about 500 points. Well, it lost 500 on Friday, but who's counting, okay? But there was an extreme overreaction to the market last Thursday and Friday after Powell's comments on Wednesday, and then after Ballard's comments. He really sent the reflation trade south. But a big recovery day here today so far. Okay, a couple of other stocks I just want to mention before I get to the featured stock of the day. There's a little one, AEI, up about 40% after signing a strategic agreement with Tesla. Okay, they're going to help deliver 20 e-homes. Don't forget, Tesla still owns the solar business that they merged with the car business. And this company gets a contract. It's going to have power walls and EV chargers, all of this stuff at single-family homes. All set e-home, AEI, gets a contract to build 20 homes. I'm sure it'll be in California. Does it say? It doesn't say where they're going to build them, but put that one. And here's your Grateful Dead stock of the day. Psychedelic drug maker, Atai Life Science, stock pops 50% plus intraday after IPO. This is Peter Thiel-backed hallucinogen firm Atai. Where's Timothy Leary when we need him? Life Science has popped more than 50% Friday in its first trading day following an upsized IPO. Where can I get some of those magic mushrooms? Well, they're hoping that it can treat some psychiatric and schizophrenia, post-traumatic stress order, etc. ATAI is the name, is the symbol of the stock. And let's see, one other one. Generac shares sizzle to fresh records. Generac makes generators. We have a big generator, Generac, at home that fires up if the hurricane knocks the power out. It doesn't knock our house down. You know, that thing will come firing up. But the big thing is these heat waves. California is having a heat wave, and Texas almost had to shut down the power a couple times. People continuing to buy Generac, who pretty much dominates the generator business. Their stock has been sizzling for quite some time. GNRC. GNRC is the symbol there. Okay, our featured stock of the day is going to come from the other side of the fence today. It's going to come from the growth side of the fence. I like the pricing power that PayPal has. I have owned PayPal in the past. And I continue, we're back in PayPal. I've used PayPal for a number of years with my app and my subscriptions. It's been a very trouble-free, fantastic, easy-to-use service for us. You know, PayPal's now a $330 billion company. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't Peter Thiel have something to do with PayPal? Look at that. Dow up 528 right now. The symbol is PYPL. Now, here's the beauty of the app, okay? You could say, well, Gunderson, you've been talking about value stocks. PayPal at 48 times forward earnings is not exactly a value stock. Well, the app tells me that it's the number 42 ranked stock out of 5,850. And one of the takeaways, I really dug into the leading stocks over the weekend. One of the takeaways I came away with was, you know, it's a diverse group. It's value stocks, it's growth stocks, it's dividend payers. It's a very eclectic group where you can find PayPal and a deep value stock amongst those top 300 or 400 stocks. My target price on PayPal, according to the app, is $567. It's currently trading at $282. PayPal is in the news a couple of times here today. Bank of America, a bullish assessment of PayPal. They say the most meaningful of the recent pricing changes announced by PayPal is that the price of branded online PayPal transactions, PayPal checkout, pay with Venmo, PayPal credit, pay in four, PayPal pay with rewards, will increase to 3.49% versus their prior level of 2.9%. So that's another 50 cents per transaction. Think of all the transactions that take place. One of the few countries out there on a with pricing power, big pricing power. Well, Bank of America reiterates a buy rating on PayPal and calls for the company's pricing power another reason to be bullish. On a PEG ratio basis, well, I was just looking at the PEG ratio. It's 2.18. I thought you said keep those PEGs around 1. Well, like I say, this is a little bit of an eclectic market right now. On the one hand, you've got the tech stocks benefiting from lower interest rates. And on the other hand, you've got the reflation trade, which seems to be back, at least for today, which is more focused on low PE, low price to sales, etc. But having said that, you know, PayPal's ranked number 42 in the app, showing the eclectic nature of the leading stocks in the market right now, PEG ratio 2.18, which Bank of America says is palatable, okay? So they reiterate a buy rating, and they assign a $323 target price. The stock is currently at 283, so that's not bad. I mean, that would send PayPal to a new all-time high. They do shorter-term target prices, 6 months, 9 months. I do 5-year target prices. PayPal will make our featured stock of the day. There's no dividend. Well, yet, when they start paying a dividend, that means their growth is slowing down considerably at PayPal. Over the last 5 years, PayPal has been growing by 26% per year, and we own it in our large cap growth portfolio. All right, we'll be in Sarasota the rest of this week. If you'd like to meet with us, 855-611-BEST. If you'd like to attend the workshop Wednesday night, 855-611-BEST. You don't have to be in Sarasota to get in contact with us this week. I'm working all week, just as usual, just as normal. So Paul and Barry, if you'd like to set up an appointment with them to talk about your portfolio and the strategy right now that we're employing, 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Or begin with the newsletter. That's a great introduction to what we do here. Go to GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.